Hello and welcome everyone to episode 54 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. And today I'll be going over counterfeit micro SD cards. Now, I noticed this was a pretty big problem. I do read all of these handheld subreddits every day, and I noticed that a common problem I see cropping up are people using the stock micro SD cards or using counterfeit micro SD cards. This is a problem because these micro SD cards are not reliable and the memory on it will corrupt. And when it corrupts, you're going to get, you know, one of two main things that are an issue. You're going to lose your save states or your save files, and you will lose your operating system files, which means the handheld won't boot. So if you have these two problems where your handheld is working fine and it's not booting anymore, or you're playing a game and all of a sudden your save states and your save files are gone, most likely it's due to the SD card becoming corrupted. I've seen posts where people are like, oh, I bought the Amazon branded SD card, or I bought a SanDisk. And so they're like, there's no way that the SD card is a problem. The thing is, even if you bought those cards, chances are very high that you may have gotten a counterfeit card. SanDisk on Amazon is very highly counterfeited. If you look at all of these SanDisk listings, and even if you purchase directly from Amazon, you may get a counterfeit card. It's because of something called commingled inventory, and I'll be going into that later. But anyways, for this podcast, what I did was I took the audio portion of my video guide, and as always, I'm going to go through, and while listening to it, if I think some part needs some clarification in terms of, you know, the audio portion only, I'll add some inserts and try to clarify so you can understand what's going on just by listening to the audio. Some parts are going to be difficult though, so I recommend you refer to my written guide or my video guide, and I'll have those linked in the description for this podcast. Anyways, I tried something different last time with my last guide where I went through and I didn't really use a script. I used an outline and it was more casual and conversational. If you like that style better, please feel free to let me know. You can email me at duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. That's duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. Or you can drop by my website on duckyobrien.com and that should link everything I'm doing. So leave a comment somewhere on my YouTube channel, on my blog, or shoot me an email and tell me which format you like better and I'll stick to that one. If there's like, if it's split 50-50, you know what? I'll do both. I'll do both. Before we begin, I would like to thank everyone for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. I really hope this guide is helpful. The short takeaway is that counterfeit cards are definitely going to fail. And then the stock micro SD cards, however, are usable, but you can't really depend on them. So I would recommend making constant backups. And you can use utilities like SyncThing or syncing to Google Drive, whatever you want to prevent you from constantly removing the SD card. You can use garlic press as well for the AmberNIC, for the RG35XX handhelds. Anyways, why don't we get into it? It's surprisingly easy to get a counterfeit micro SD card these days. You may even have one and not know it. It's a growing issue because counterfeit micro SD cards aren't as reliable. This means that over time, you'll have ever-increasing chances of getting data corrupted, which means the possibility of losing your save files and or games not running properly. If the operating system files get corrupted, then your handheld won't boot properly as well. To start with, we'll go over what type of micro SD card will be best suited for your needs. There are a lot of different rating numbers for micro SD cards, and it can get a bit daunting picking a card. If all you're doing is playing ROMs on emulators, and the read and write speeds of the card don't really matter. The ROMs are so small, relatively speaking, that the read and write speeds won't matter in terms of how the game will perform. There is no need to buy a more expensive micro SD card unless you want to. Your games will not perform any better for the most part. You also won't need that much space unless you want every single PlayStation 1 game ever released on your micro SD card. Generally speaking, a 128GB card will be more than enough for playing PS1 and lower. If you aren't planning on playing any of the disc-based systems, then a 64GB card should suffice. I have a 256GB micro SD card, and I never managed to fill more than half of it. Even if I did, I would never get around to playing all those games. I'd rather keep a smaller, curated set of ROMs of games I actually want to play, but it's entirely up to you how you approach storing your ROMs. If you're planning on carrying a large PS2 or GameCube library, you'll probably want to get a larger card. If you are emulating more recent systems where the game files are very large, like the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, or planning on using it for a handheld PC for modern games, like the Steam Deck, ROG Ally, or Legion Go, then you may want to consider a card with a higher read and write speed, since it will definitely affect performance. It is kind of a moot point, however, since the fastest microSD cards will not compare to just getting a larger SSD on the device itself. For picking out microSD cards, you'll mostly see these three different speed ratings: Speed Class, UHS Speed Class, and Video Speed Class. Speed Class is denoted by a number inside of what looks to be the letter C. The number indicates in megabytes per second the minimum sequential write speed. For example, most cards you see will be of Speed Class 10. This means that the microSD card should be able to write sequentially at a speed of 10 megabytes per second. Sequential read and write speeds are an ideal scenario and are completely different from random read and write speeds. We'll get into that in just a bit. UHS speed class is denoted by a number inside of what looks to be the letter U. The number indicates in multiples of 10 megabytes per second the sequential write speed. And UHS speed class of 1 will be rated at a minimum sequential write speed of 10 megabytes per second, and a UHS speed class of 3 will be rated at a minimum sequential write speed of 30 megabytes per second. A speed class of 10 is equivalent to a UHS speed class of 1. Video speed class is denoted by a number next to what looks to be the letter V. The number indicates in megabytes per second the minimum sequential write speed. For example, a card with the rating of V30 will be rated at a minimum sequential write speed of 30 megabytes per second, and it will be comparable to a UHS speed class rating of 3. Most cards will have a rating of V10 or V30. In fact, you will commonly see 2 or even 3 of these ratings on the same microSD card. If you take a look at this Samsung Pro Plus microSD card, you can see that it has a UHS speed class rating of 3 and a video speed class rating of 30. This SanDisk Ultra microSD card has a speed class rating of 10, and a UHS speed class rating of 1. Most of these card speeds will suffice for the purposes of emulation. Now, you will also notice a rating of A1 or A2 on these cards. These are application performance classes and guarantee minimum random read or write speeds. A card with a rating of A1 will have a minimum random read speed of 1500 input-output operations per second, or IOPS for short. The card should also have a minimum random write speed of 500 IOPS with a minimum sustained sequential write speed of 10 megabytes per second. A card with a rating of A2 will have a minimum random read speed of 4000 IOPS, a minimum random write speed of 2000 IOPS, and a minimum sustained sequential write speed of 10 megabytes per second. Sequential read and write speeds are the ideal speeds and are way higher than random read or write speeds. Notice how they give you the random read and write speeds in IOPS. If you take a look at my Crystal Disk Mark results for my Samsung Pro Plus card, the sequential write speeds are close to 120 megabytes per second, while the random write speeds are closer to 2 megabytes per second. If you look at it in terms of IOPS, it is within the range of the advertised values. Now, why is a random write so much slower than sequential? You can imagine sequential writing as taking a bunch of files and then writing them in order one after the other. Random writes are writing chunks in random places. Now, this illustration is mostly how the disk-based hard drives used to work. For SSDs and flash memory, it mostly deals with how pages are handled. Sequential access means you deal with less pages, so that's why it should be faster. I may be wrong here. Internet experts can correct me in the comments below. I'll link two resources that go over this in much better detail below if you want to read up on it. Editor Ducky here. I have all the resources I use for my video linked in my YouTube video. I have it in the comments. I have all the sources there, and then I have some of the sources in the description. if you want to refer to those, you can check out the video. Once again, you can consider all of these numbers to be gobbledygook because they won't matter much for playing most ROMs, other than more modern games with very large file sizes. The only reason I make note of these numbers is that they will help us to determine if your card is counterfeit or not. The only benefit of having a faster write speed is for when you are copying over large files to your microSD card. We will be using two different applications to check the read and write speeds of your microSD cards to make sure they are close enough to the speeds claimed by the card. For Samsung cards, we have another third utility to make use of. Before we get into testing, we'll now go over some of the best practices to avoid buying a counterfeit card in the first place. You can skip ahead to the testing section if this portion does not apply to you. The first thing to consider when purchasing a card is to buy the most reliable brand available and from a reputable reseller. Buying a higher speed card or more expensive card won't make much of a difference in the performance of your games for retro consoles. Reliability, not performance, is the key here since you want to reduce the chances of getting data corrupted. You don't really need any special cards like a Samsung Pro Endurance or SanDisk High Endurance for it to be reliable, just anything but a counterfeit card. Those high endurance cards are mostly for security systems or dash cams and are overkill for handheld emulation. It honestly won't make much of a difference. The most reliable brands based on anecdotal evidence were any legitimate Samsung and SanDisk cards. You can buy other known brands if you want to, but please do not buy a brand you never heard of. For example, Nuilux is a brand that is infamous for having faulty microSD cards. There are plenty of shady brands. I will link a thread with known faulty brands down below. Please avoid them at all costs. Editor Ducky here, so I'm going to list some of the brands that you want to avoid because these are brands selling fake 1TB cards usually. The 1TB cards are going to be either 16GB cards or 32GB cards or less. And when you use it, it'll look like a 1TB card when you plug it into your PC. However, as you use it, it will overwrite the data on itself because it's not actually 1TB, thus causing data corruption. On Amazon, the common 1TB brands you'll see that are definitely fakes are Alisonson and Nuilux. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's spelled N-U-I-L-A-K-S. There's also a brand with just a star on it, and that brand is labeled as Heruiker. So it's spelled H-E-R-U-I-K-E-R. On eBay, I see a lot of these cards that are definitely fake. It's Kreku. It's spelled K-R-E-C-O-O. And then on AliExpress, this was really funny. I saw a definitely fake SanDisk brand. It was called Sandian. And I was like, wow, the colors and everything look the same. And they're only like a dollar for like a 2TB card. Those are fake capacity cards, all right? Don't be duped. I know you want to buy a 1TB card for cheap, but you're going to get something way worse than simply just spending the $20 or whatever it was buying a actual legitimate capacity microSD card. Quick note before we continue back to the show, and I can't stress this enough, never, and I mean never, buy any memory from AliExpress or Temu. 99.99% of the listings are either fake capacity cards or unreliable cards or straight up counterfeits. And the sheer amount of listings where you get a legitimate, usable card are so far and few between, it's just not worth it. The cards that you get from them will definitely fail, and fail rather quickly. The lucky people may get a card that's usable for a couple of months. But yeah, I don't want to risk it. I don't think it's worth risking it, fellas. Anyways, back to the show. As a side note, if you have a R36S, it is extremely picky about reading microSD cards. SanDisk may not work, along with some Team Group, Toshiba, and Lexar cards. ADATA, Kingston, PNY, Silicon Power, Microcenter, and NetTech cards seem to work fine. I will link this R36 compatibility sheet in the description and comments below. This is the only console that is this picky, and most other consoles should work with most microSD card brands. That said, if you don't want to lose any data, I recommend backing up your save files regularly to a PC or phone. No card can guarantee that data will never get corrupted. Always make a backup, and then make a backup of the backup on another separate storage device. A joke here, but you can even wrap it and store it in an ammo box and bury it in your backyard. This is referring to a true story. For the highest chances of getting a legitimate card, buying at a physical store that is a reputable reseller of microSD cards gives the best results. Amazon and eBay are not that great to use and require more work to get a real card. Sites like AliExpress and Temu are definitely not trustworthy, and you will most definitely get a counterfeit card that may fail very quickly. If you live in the United States, stores like Best Buy should carry the most common brands of microSD cards like Samsung and SanDisk. Stores like Target and Walmart may also carry a small selection of SanDisk microSD cards. I would not recommend buying the on-microSD cards from Walmart. They seem to have a high fail rate. If you have a local camera shop near you, they should also carry legitimate microSD cards. If you want to purchase online in the United States, B&H Photo and Samsung are reputable websites. eBay is okay if you're buying directly from the official manufacturer, retailer, or reputable reseller. The problem is that many stores pose as official stores. I would double and triple check to make sure you're buying from a legitimate source. Most of the reputable resellers are also from web stores that sell camera gear as well as web stores that only sell storage. It would be best to avoid eBay, but I know a lot of people just don't have reliable access to a physical store near them. In the cases where you do discover a counterfeit card, eBay should favor the buyer more heavily than the seller, so you should be able to get a refund. For Amazon, the process is a bit different. The problem with Amazon is that it uses something called commingled inventory. A commingled inventory is a system where all the items of the same listing are dumped into one bin, even if they are from different merchants. If we take a look at this illustration here, all the vendors under the same listing for a microSD card will ship their inventory to Amazon warehouses. Amazon will dump everything into one bin because this is more efficient in terms of gathering items for shipping. When you order from any of the vendors using Amazon as a warehouse, they will take a microSD card out of that one big pile. Now, if one shady vendor brought in some counterfeit microSD cards, guess what? It's in that big pile now, and you may have a chance of getting one, even if you ordered it from Amazon as the main seller. Here is the best way to avoid this as much as possible. Let's use the SanDisk card listing as an example. We're going to go straight into this section right here that shows you all the other sellers. Editor Ducky here, so to clarify, when you're on Amazon using a computer, I don't know how the mobile layout looks, but it might be similar. If you look at a listing, and on the right-hand side is all the information like the pricing, and you see the add to cart button, and then buy it now. Underneath it'll say ships from, and then sold by, and you want to make sure that says Amazon.com, and then sold by could be Amazon.com or an official manufacturer or reputable reseller. Now, if you scroll all the way below that, there should be a section that says new and used, and then have a number in parentheses from, list the lowest pricing, free shipping on orders over $35 shipped by Amazon. It's in a tiny box, and there's a little arrow on the right-hand side, and when you click on that, it'll load a sidebar with all of the sellers, and there's a lot of listings. So what you want to look for are two things, the ships from and the sold by. So for example, if you see a store called Signature 40 and it says ships from Signature 40 and then sold by Signature 40, that's totally fine because they're not shipping from Amazon warehouses. So if they had counterfeits, the only chances of you getting it is if you order from that store. So always double check where it's shipping from and who is sold by. The number one thing that you want to look out for is if it's shipping from Amazon, but sold by someone else. So I go over some examples like eTech and Direct Suppliers US. There are some other stores that are shipping from Amazon, like First Choice Online. I don't know who these guys are, and I can't trust them. And if you read the reviews, you'll see that there are counterfeits mixed into the pool. So even if you are ordering from Amazon and it says sold by Amazon and then shipped by Amazon, that does not guarantee anything. Always check that other sellers list and make sure that everyone on that list is not shipping from Amazon. I can't stress this enough. I've seen so many people with the misconception that if you buy from Amazon, that you get a legitimate card. That is not true. It's because of commingled inventory. It's a known problem. It's a huge problem, and Amazon will not fix it. So you have to work hard to get legitimate items from Amazon, even though it shouldn't be upon you to do that. Anyways, back to the show now. Once you click on it, we're going to check for other vendors that are shipping from Amazon itself. If a merchant is shipping from their own warehouse, we can safely ignore them because there's no chance of counterfeits polluting the pool from them. As we can see here, we have two vendors shipping from Amazon warehouses, Direct Suppliers US and eTech. That means there is a possibility of counterfeits existing in the pool. Now let's go check the reviews. Sadly, the average consumer won't be able to tell if their card is counterfeit or not because they won't even know that it's a possibility or to look out for it in the first place. Once we're in the reviews, what we're looking for are reviews mentioning cards failing quickly or having really slow read and write speeds. And as we can see here, quick insert, you want to make sure that you sort the reviews by most recent. And if you just want to go straight to the negative reviews, you can sort by 1-star reviews. And this should reveal if there are any counterfeits in the inventory pool. This reviewer mentioned that their 1TB micro SD card completely stopped working in a month. Chances are that card had a fake capacity and he wrote past it. We see another reviewer mentioning that the 1TB card was a straight up counterfeit with the painting not matching the official cards. Now we know that the inventory pool is polluted with counterfeits and to avoid this listing. The ideal listing will only have one reputable vendor shipping from Amazon. For example, the Samsung Pro Plus listing only has Amazon as the vendor shipping from Amazon warehouses. We can ignore the seller named Amazon Warehouse that is an official branch of Amazon selling returned or cosmetically damaged products. If there is even one more vendor shipping from Amazon, I would rather not take the risk. To summarize, check the listing for other sellers shipping from Amazon and make sure only the official manufacturer and reputable resellers are shipping from Amazon warehouses. Check the reviews for the possibility of counterfeits polluting the inventory pool. Finally, if it's too good to be true, it usually is a scam. Don't be duped, fellas. If the price is too low, especially for a 1TB card, it's a fake. Now we'll cover how to test your micro SD cards to check for counterfeits. The first test is just a visual check. Compare your micro SD card to an image from the manufacturer. Counterfeits usually have a very poor paint job and usually contains misaligned text and or spelling errors. The second test is checking the capacity and the read and write speeds of the card using H2TestW. It's free and you can get it from h2testw.org. Click on the download link located here. The file will be named h2testw_1.4zip. Extract the contents using a program like 7-zip. Click on the h2testw.exe file to start the program. Click the little English option up top to change the interface language to English. The default will be German. If you don't trust this program, run it in a virtual machine. Now, before you use this software, if your micro SD card has data on it, I would recommend making a backup. Performing the capacity check will require writing data to the card, so erase any data on it. If you copy files over for a custom OS like MinUI or OnionOS, then you can safely copy all the files in that micro SD card to another storage device. If you image your micro SD card using a program like Rufus or Balena Etcher, then you need to make an image of your micro SD card using software like Win32 Disk Imager. After backing up your micro SD card, you'll want to do a quick format of your micro SD card so we can write to the full capacity. You can do this by right-clicking on a drive letter and then selecting Format. Make sure you select FAT32, but it doesn't really matter too much for this step. After it's formatted, you can press the Select Target button, a and navigate to your microSD card. I'm using my Samsung USB adapter to plug the card into my PC, but you can use the stock adapters that came with the device. Usually the stock microSD card readers last way longer than the stock microSD cards themselves. Check the All Available Space option under Data Volume, and then click Write plus Verify. This process may take a long time depending on the size of your microSD card, as well as the write speed. It can take an hour or more for larger cards. Once all the data is written, it will read the data back to record the read speeds. If the capacity is legitimate, the write test should have succeeded with the write speeds being relatively stable. We can also check the read speeds to make sure they fall in line with the speeds written on the microSD card itself. Some counterfeit cards will fail at this point and become corrupted. If the write or read speeds are way too low, then you also likely have a counterfeit card. If your read or write speeds are only somewhat lower than what the marketing material claims, this variance is normal. As a side note here, some of these counterfeit cards, especially the larger capacity ones like the 1TB cards, will have a true capacity that is way smaller, such as 16GB. It's not difficult for these guys to make the card lie about the capacity, so even if you plug the card into your computer and the computer reads back 1TB, it's all a lie. Even if you write large files, it will seem like it's working, but that is also a lie. What the card is actually doing is looping the writes over itself. For example, if you have a 1TB counterfeit card that's actually 16GB, and you write a 32GB file to it, it will write the first 16GB normally. After it reaches the end, it will loop back and write the rest of the 16GB over the first 16GB. Other cards will just straight up fail once you go over the actual capacity. There are some easy ways to check for this other than using H2TestW if you want to save a little bit of time. One is to copy over large video files and try to fill up past 64GB. Once you are done, you can play back the video files and skip around to check the beginning, middle, and end of each video. If it plays correctly, then your capacity may be legitimate. Another more tech-savvy way is to use the terminal to write zeros to the full reported capacity of the card, and then write non-zero numbers to the first 3 bytes. If the card is legitimate, then those non-zero numbers should only appear at the beginning and nowhere else. This is a very handy solution from Ignacio Vasquez Abrams on a super user forums. I'll link this below as well. Most of the time, you can tell the card is looping because it will write at normal speeds for the first 16 to 30 gigabytes or so, and then the write speeds will suddenly drop. Now, if you have a fake large capacity card and can't return it, you can still use the card if you create a partition or burn an image that reflects the actual size of the card. Chances are very high that the memory on it will corrupt over time, but at least this way you can make the most of the situation and it'll be somewhat usable. Our next utility will be Crystal Disk Mark. This is similar to H2TestW. It also has anime skins. I cannot believe my eyes. The skins take up more hard drive space than the program itself. I mean, look at this. If you want more anime in your life, especially from your microSD card utilities, you can download the themed Crystal Disk Mark utility as shown here. Now, a nice feature about Crystal Disk Mark is that since it's not doing capacity testing, it'll be much faster than H2TestW, and you won't have to back up your microSD card if there's enough free space. I would always recommend backing up the card regardless, since anything can go wrong. Once again, if you don't trust third-party software, run this program in a virtual machine. The file should be named Crystal Disk Mark 8055shizuku.zip, Crystal Disk Mark 8055aoi.zip, or Crystal Disk Mark 805.zip depending on the version you got. The version number may be different depending on when you are watching this video. Extract the contents using a program like 7zip. Inside will be 3 different versions. Click on Disk Mark 32s.exe if you have a 32-bit operating system. Click on Diskmark 64s.exe if you have a 64-bit operating system. Diskmark A64.exe is for ARM64 systems. If you don't know how many bits your version of Windows is, you can type in CMD in the search bar and start the command prompt. Type in this command, wmic.os/get/OS architecture. It will report back how many bits your operating system is. You may have to run the command prompt as an administrator if the command didn't work. The solution came from user Shinrai from the Super User Forums. I will link this post down below as well. On Windows 10, you can also go to Settings, System, and scroll all the way down to About. The entry label System Type will let you know if you have a 32-bit or 64-bit operating system. Most modern PCs should be 64-bit, but you should double-check just to be safe. Once you click the correct version of Crystal Disk Mark, it will load a simple user interface. Go to this section here and choose the Select Folder option and navigate to your micro SD card. Make sure it has the correct drive letter in this window here, or else your readings will be off. I would recommend restarting Crystal Disk Mark after plugging in your micro SD card if this is giving you any trouble. The first number is the number of tests to conduct. The second number is the size of the test. The fourth option is the unit in which the test speeds are measured in. I like leaving it at the default values, but you can feel free to increase them if you want more thorough testing. Crystal Disk Mark show my Samsung Pro Plus as having a sequential write speed of 120.89 and 121.88 megabytes per second. As shown here, the actual write speed is actually closer to 112 megabytes per second, which is close enough to the advertised write speed of up to 130 megabytes per second. Crystal Disk Mark reported a sequential write speed of 24.1 and 22.44 megabytes per second for my stock Datafrog SF2000 card. As shown here, the actual write speed is actually closer to 13 megabytes per second. It does go up and down. The rating on the card was a Class 10, which has a sequential write speed of 10 megabytes per second, so this performance actually matches and even exceeds the rating on the card. These measured values are within the range of the advertised values for both cards. Now, low speeds doesn't necessarily indicate a bad card, but it's just that most of these companies making counterfeit cards are using low-quality chips that result in easily corrupted data, and one of the main indicators is low read and write speeds, other than having a fake capacity. The consistency of the performance is important as well. You'll notice in writing data to these cards that the official micro SD cards will have much more stable read and write speeds, while the counterfeit cards or questionable cards will be much more sporadic. Now the final tool, the Samsung Card UFD Authentication Utility. This is obviously only for Samsung micro SD cards. It is also the easiest and fastest tool to use, but it does not verify the capacity nor the read or write speeds. You can use this tool if you have a Samsung card and want a quick test, but I would recommend using at least Crystal Disk Mark to check the read and write speeds as well. Go to the Samsung Tools download page shown here. Quick insert, the tool will be located at https://semiconductor.samsung.com/us/consumer-storage/support/tools. Will be located all the way at the bottom. The section will be called Card and UFD Software, Samsung Memory Card and UFD Authentication Utility. You do have to click on a little down arrow to reveal the links. The first one will be the application. The other three will be manuals. And scroll all the way down to the Card and UFD Software section. Click the little arrow to show all the files, and download the Samsung Card UFD Authentication Utility. The file was named SMCA-WinP01-RC01-202-3704.zip. The version number may differ depending on when you're watching this video. Extract the contents using a program like 7-Zip. Click on the .exe file and agree to the EULA and give it permissions. Once it starts, it should automatically detect your micro SD card once you plug it in and tell you if the product is genuine or not. This should cover three ways to check if your micro SD card is counterfeit or not. To recap, H2TestW will do a much more thorough test for checking the actual capacity while giving you an overview of the read and write speeds. Crystal Disk Mark will give you much more thorough numbers for sequential and random read and write speeds. The Samsung Verification Utility only checks if your Samsung card is genuine or not. You can use whichever tool you want to make sure your SD card is legitimate. Now moving on to the related question of should I use the stock micro SD card that came with my handheld? Most people will say definitely not. This is because the stock SD card will fail, it's just a matter of when, not if. That said, I would recommend using the stock card if you fall under these two categories. 1. If you just don't care about losing your save games or having to reflash your SD card if an OS file gets corrupted, then using the stock card will be perfectly fine. Number 2. If you just don't have the money to buy a new card, then I totally understand. Times are rough and even buying a new handheld can be pricey. Using the stock card will not be ideal, but the only thing I would recommend in this case is to back up your save files regularly. Back them up depending on how much progress you are okay with losing. For example, if you are okay with losing a week's worth of progress, then back up your save files once a week. If that's too much loss for you, then make backups more frequently, like every other day. You also don't have to worry about constantly inserting and removing your micro SD card. Most handhelds will provide a way to transfer files. For example, the Miu Mini Plus can wirelessly transfer files over a web browser. The RG35XX can transfer files over the USB-C port, thanks to Garlic Press. Most recent handhelds will have a way to transfer files. In fact, you can even sync your files automatically using a utility like SyncThing. If you want more info, I'll link FirusTech's guide on SyncThing. There are other options like syncing to a Google Drive folder for Android handhelds and etc. I would make a note here, even with a tested, reliable micro SD card, back it up if you don't want to lose anything. Make at least one backup of the backup as well on a separate storage device. I prefer local storage over cloud storage, since if you lose access to internet or lose access to the account, your files are as good as gone. I use any online storage as a last resort rather than as my primary backup. I'm also currently testing the stock micro SD cards on multiple devices and will report back after the testing is done. This may take a while, however. Okay, that should cover everything. To recap, I would avoid buying micro SD cards on AliExpress and Temu, instead buying them from a physical store like Best Buy, a reputable web store like B&H Photo or Samsung. I would also avoid eBay and Amazon if possible, but I know some people just don't have access to physical stores. If that's the case, buy them from a reputable reseller on eBay. Always double check to make sure they are legitimate, because many stores pose as official entities and can also fake reviews. If purchasing on Amazon, make sure that Amazon itself, the manufacturer, and or reputable resellers are the only ones shipping the card from Amazon warehouses. Avoid any listings with third-party sellers also shipping from Amazon warehouses. Double-check the reviews by sorting by most recent, and look for telltale signs of counterfeits like shoddy appearance, dying quickly, and or performing very slowly. Once you get your card, you can use H2TestW to check for capacity and general read and write speeds. Crystal Disk Mark will let you check sequential and random read and write speeds. The Samsung tool will just check if your Samsung card is legitimate. Finally, if using stock SD cards, make a plan to back up your save files regularly if you don't want to lose them. I hope this guide helped. If you guys have any questions or advice of your own, please feel free to leave a comment down below. The information here was mostly for people living in the United States. If you're living in a different country, please feel free to leave your own advice as well to make sure everyone can get legitimate micro SD cards. Okay, that has been episode 54 of the Ducky O'Brien Show. I know it was a lot of information to take in. Hopefully this was helpful to you. If you guys have any more questions, please feel free to email me. Once again, my email is duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. That's duckyobrienshow@gmail.com. You can also head over to my blog at duckyobrien.com, and it should have links to everything I'm working on. So you can check out my YouTube channel, whatever you want, and leave a comment on any of those outlets. Anyways, that's going to be it. I am experimenting with using the stock cards. I'm just playing the devices with the stock micro SD cards and seeing how long they last. I have a Datafrog SF2000, a M17, and a RG35XXH that I bought from TikTok. So I will be just playing those systems normally with stock OS, stock SD card, and seeing how the experience is and seeing how long it takes for something to fail. And then I will make a video just going over my details. And obviously I'll release a podcast for that too, if anyone's interested. Anyways, that's going to be it. Before I keep rambling, thank you so much for dropping by and listening. I really do appreciate it. And as always, hope you guys are staying safe and sane out there. And catch you guys next time.